You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. And happy to be with the catcher who, in point of service, is the senior catcher in all of Major League Baseball, and that's A.J. Pierzynski. We have a mutual friend named Fred Cambria, who pitched for the Pittsburgh Pirates, later coached at St. Leo's College in Florida, and told me a story that when you were something like 12 or 13 years old, you came to a tryout camp and you hit rockets, and everybody was so impressed that this was this golden child with this amazing talent. Do you remember that day?
I remember going to St. Leo. I don't remember hitting rockets or any of that stuff. I just remember going and being there and meeting Fred. We had a mutual friend when I was growing up, and getting to know him and what he was all about. I remember the camp and I remember doing all that, but I don't know. I think that was a little oversold by your part, Eddie, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Was baseball always central in your life as a kid?
Absolutely. I played other sports growing up. I played basketball and did all the stuff around that a kid does. I mean, football and all that stuff, but we always came back to baseball.
And the story goes that the catcher for the Little League didn't show up one day.
Yeah, when I was about eight, the catcher didn't show up. I don't know why we needed a catcher, so I'm like, I'll do it. I'll try it. And then I kind of fell in love with it, and I've been back there now for 30-plus years. So I never played another position. Even in high school, I never played another position. Minor leagues, I played first a couple times, like back ends of doubleheaders, played the outfield a couple times when we were short guys. But other than that, I never played anywhere else.
Drafted by Minnesota. What were your goals as a young player?
Oh, geez. Well, I mean, when you get signed, you just want to survive. When you're first drafted and you go into the minor leagues, you see all these guys. And I was 17 when I was drafted, and go to the minor leagues, and you're playing with guys out of college that are 22. And then you get into A ball and double A, and you're 20, 21 years old. And there's guys 25, 26, so just the maturity. I remember being in AAA when I was 21 for the first time and playing with guys 27, 28, 29, 30, and you're like, they're talking about their kids, and I'm talking about, like, you know, I'm getting ID'd going to a bar, you know? It's like, it was just different world then and different situations. So you're just trying to survive. And then obviously the ultimate goal is to get to the big leagues. And then once you get there, you realize how great it is, and then you want to stay there, which is easier said than done. I was up and down more than once, or a few times, and that's probably the hardest thing is trying to figure out how to get there and stay.
Was there a moment when you knew that you belonged? Was there that seminal moment in your early career?
I don't know. It wasn't probably until I was up in 98 and didn't really know what I was doing. 99, I was up and down. 2000, I get called up in like late July, early August, I think it was. And when I hit my first big league home run, that was probably when I was like, okay, I can do this. And it kind of relaxed me. It was in Seattle. And a buddy that I come up with named Matt Kenny got his first big league win that night. So it was like a big deal. And we, you know, went out and had dinner afterwards, and we're talking about how cool it was. It happened on the same night. I mean, it was just one of those things where that was kind of the moment where you're like, okay, I can do this. Like, I actually can survive up here and possibly be okay.
And could you have imagined still putting on the uniform and being productive at 39?
No. I tell people all the time, I've been saying I'm going to retire for like 5 or 6 years now, and I keep signing back up for another year. So, I mean, I remember my first full year when I was 23. I get through it, I'm like, man, I have to do this for 9 more years to get to 10 years, because that's obviously everyone's goal, is to get to 10 years. And just thinking like, man, I'm never going to make it to 33 years old to have my 10 years, and now 39 still going. And but it's still fun. I still enjoy playing. I still enjoy the competition. And my family still enjoys me playing. That's the biggest thing. Like, the day that my wife, my kids say, we don't want you to play anymore, is the day I'll walk away.
So you'll continue playing?
As long as somebody will have me, and as long as they say okay, then I don't know why you wouldn't. As long as I'm physically, I have no problems at all. Mentally, it's probably harder.
And I've heard that. I've heard that about you. Your arm doesn't hurt. Your knees don't hurt. This is one of the most demanding positions in all of sports.
Yeah, I've been pretty blessed physically. I guess thank God, thank my mom, thank my dad that they gave me good genes. You know, I've never had any major injuries, never had any problems. I don't have any knee issues. I don't have any arm problems, no hip problems, no back problems. Nothing really. I mean, I physically feel, obviously you get a little more tired as you get older and stuff like that, but on a day-to-day basis, I feel like I did when I was 25.
But I interrupted you. You were going to say something about mentally.
Mentally is different. Mentally wears on you, especially when you get older, you have kids and you're missing things that they're doing. That's the hardest thing is you miss your son's baseball tournament, you miss your daughter's volleyball tournament, you miss your whatever it is, their first day of school, you miss their party at school, their Father's Day party, you know, the parents' day at the school, and that's the hard stuff because that's the stuff that you can't ever make up. You can make up for the baseball stuff and all that, but you can't ever make up for things they do in the kids' lives.
What stands out so many years later about the World Championship in 2005 with the White Sox?
The camaraderie that team had. I know people say chemistry doesn't matter, chemistry matters, but the way you can ask anybody that knows that team and the way we bonded was unbelievable for a bunch of just kind of misfits thrown together to come together the way we did. We just all clicked in a way that I've never been a part of in any other team. Coming up with the Twins, we had a bunch of guys that we grew over time to become friends, Torrey Hunter, Minkiewicz, and LaTroy, and Eddie Guardado, and all those guys. But a lot of us were in the minor leagues together, so we had years to build a relationship. And that year in Chicago, we had spring training, and after 6 weeks of spring training, you could tell, man, this team was pretty special.
And everybody will remember the complete games.
Yes, which never happen again.
You just took the words out of my mouth.
That'll never. In the ALCS, we threw four complete games in a row. Our starters did. All got wins, game two to game five. And it'll never happen again. First of all, the bullpen guys get paid too much money, and the managers nowadays can't wait to get into the bullpen. So we were just fortunate that all four games we had a healthy lead. Our starters had kept their pitch count down, and they also had enough stuff to get through.
Where do you come down on that, on this evolution of the game and with the pitching?
It's changed so much. The velocity has gone so up. The specialties of all the relievers has gotten to a point where you're just like, I understand why. Every guy coming out of the bullpen now is 95 plus with a nasty slider or split or something, and you want those guys in the game in big situations. They're bred now from the time they're in A ball and signed, and some of them even high school and college to do that. So I think that it's just become ingrained in their, that's all they know. Some of them don't know how to be starters because they've never done it in their life.
What about the kids that are playing now? You have so many young players on the Atlanta Braves. Same attitude as when you came up, or are they different?
They're a little different. I think every generation says guys are a little different. You know, back when I played. I think the difference now that I see is these kids are younger, and they know. I don't know if they know more. They think they know more because of all the information that's out there. They don't have the experience of actually playing in games and doing it, but they have, because of all the TV and the internet and all the information that's out there, they have more experience as far as like reading about how to do it instead of actually having done it. And I think sometimes that gets in the way of actually learning it on the field. And I think also a big thing about travel ball and all that, they don't practice. They just play game after game after game. And I think sometimes you just need to take a step back and practice a little bit and let the kids take batting practice and have fun. It's not always about how far you can hit it. It's just different now.
Do you sense the camaraderie like the kind you experienced with the White Sox?
With the kids now, I think people nowadays, as I've gotten older, I've kind of learned that how to deal with the younger guys. I know talking to like LaTroy Hawkins, who obviously retired this year, over the years, and when he was the old guy, when I was the young guy, and it's just changed the way you treat the kids. Because back when I played, you know, when I was younger, and I hate that saying, but when I was younger, I mean, it was just different. Like when you're a rookie, you just sat in your locker and didn't speak, and now these guys are an integral part of your team, so you can't really get on them. You have to encourage them to be themselves, and I think that's the biggest thing that's changed is, when I first came up, you were encouraged to be a part of a team and fit a mold of a team. Now you're encouraged to more be yourself and do kind of your own thing.
Have you mellowed through the years?
Depends on who you ask, I think.
What do you think? Because you had a reputation, there was a poll once in Men's Journal that you were the most hated player in baseball. But you're 39 years old now. Have you mellowed with time, you think?
I think everybody mellows a little bit with time. I think that I wouldn't say that I still want to compete. I just do it differently than what I used to do. I mean, I used to be a lot more fiery than what I am. I still have that inside of me, but I think I've learned to control it a little bit more than what I used to.
Did you go out of your way to agitate back in the day?
No, I just was myself. I never went out of my way. I just wanted to win.
So then what honk people off about you?
I don't go out there and shake hands with everybody and play grab ass with them and try to be everybody's friends. I try to just win the game, and that's kind of it.
And also have a reputation for being starkly truthful when it comes to going out to the mound and talking to your pitcher.
Yeah, I'll tell them what they don't want to hear, but I expect the same thing out of everyone else. I mean, I don't pull any punches. I mean, I'll just say it. I'd rather just have it out there if we have to argue about it, we'll argue about it, but at least it'll be over with instead of having kind of a, you know, the thing behind, you know, behind your back. Like, if I got something to say, I'll just say it to you. That way we can get it out in the open. If we got to go down the tunnel, we'll get it out, but we'll get it over with, we'll get it settled, we'll move on from it.
Have there ever been major problems with your truthfulness?
I don't know about major problems, but there's obviously been issues, because sometimes, like I said, you don't always want to hear the truth, and there's been problems where people have told me the truth and I didn't like it, but then you think about it and you're like, you know what, those people are right. And I think that comes with maturity and age. And so we all do things wrong, and we all make mistakes, and at the end of the day, you have to learn to live with yourself and be happy with yourself.
You've also said, we're with A.J. Brzezinski on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball, you've also said you've got no use for participation trophies, and that when it comes to playing your kids, you will beat them, you won't let them win.
Yes, that's very true. My wife sometimes gets mad at me for not letting my kids win, but I was never allowed to win when I was growing up. I don't know about you, but my mom and dad always wanted to beat me. I mean, I think that's a major life lesson. I mean, no matter what job you go into, whether it's athletics or business world or the real world, you're going to have setbacks and you're going to lose at something, and you got to figure out a way to get over it and get better.
Would you like to strangle the people who invented the participation trophy?
That's not my decision. I'm just one person with a very small opinion.
But that really is the difference between now and then.
Yeah. You know, again, I hate saying, you know, when I was younger or whatever, but when I played, if you didn't finish in first place, you didn't get a trophy. And whatever sport
it was for me in the Bronx.
And if you didn't win the game, you didn't get to go and get the cheeseburger or the milkshake after the game. If you lost, you went home and everyone was mad. And if you won, you got to go to and get a pizza or whatever it was. But losing wasn't very – it just wasn't okay. I mean, I don't know. I've never been okay with losing. I've always won. No matter what it is, I might not be able to beat you, but I'll do the best I can and I'll compete and try to figure out a way, but I'll never just concede or quit. You know, I don't believe it. That's just the way to go about it.
And I would think that you would have had through the years some teammates who didn't represent the game or respect the game the way you've just spoken about.
Yeah, that's kind of, there's been some conversations had about that over the years, so, but it's part of it. I mean, I would like to think I was brought up the right way, especially with the Twins organization, the way they did it and the way they taught us to play. And I mean, I think you look at it, we've had some guys that have had great, David Ortiz going to go to the Hall of Fame, Torrey Hunter, I mean, guys that have long, productive careers, and we all did it the right way, and we all went about it the same way, and I think they did something good. They taught us how to go about being a professional every day.
Three pitchers that you loved catching.
Brad Radke, Mark Burley was really fun. And let's see here. Three, huh? I got to come up with three?
No, if you've only got two, that's
those
fine.
Are probably my
you
two,
still win the car.
Those are probably my two favorite ones.
Because?
Just because they were so easy. You close your eyes and just kind of. You know, another good one was Eddie Gordado was fun to catch because he had so much fun out there.
Mm-hmm.
He was fun. He kind of rubbed off on everybody about having fun.
Who was difficult to catch?
Oh, I mean, there's a whole lot of those guys. Bobby Jenks, he was like the first guy that threw like 100 miles an hour, the big curveball. He was hard. He was also fun, though, because he knew that nobody could hit him, so that was fun. Chris Sale was tough when he first came up because he was kind of a little bit wild and kind of all over the place, kind of from a funky angle. The guys that are hard are the guys that have a hard time throwing it where you want it, because you're always on edge and you're never just settled into just relaxing and catching the ball.
If you play 79 games this year, you will have caught the sixth most games in the history of the game. The guys that are in front of you are legends. It's Pudge and Pudge. It's Yvonne Rodriguez and Carlton Fisk, Bob Boone, Gary Carter, Jason Kendall. What a tribute.
Yeah, I know. I think I know all those guys. I think I met them all once or twice. Yeah, they're all the kind of the guys at the top of the list for just being reliable catchers. And, you know, to be anywhere even mentioned with those guys is pretty awesome. So you don't think about it or worry about it. You just play. But at the end of the day, I know I can walk off the field whenever my last game is, if it's tomorrow, and say, you know what, I had a way better career than I ever thought I'd have, and hang my head high and walk off and know that I gave everything I had to the baseball, and that's it. I mean, that's all you can really do.
You've worked for Fox since 2011. What do you see in your future when you finally decide to hang it up? Would you stay in the game because you've obviously got a wealth of knowledge to share as a coach or manager, or do you see your future in broadcasting, or not at all?
I have no idea. I haven't thought about it. Obviously, the TV thing is fun, but I'd also like to be able to – you want to stay in the game, helping kids, helping other players try to get better, whatever it is. I mean, whether – you just don't know where the future lies. You might say, oh, I'm going to go and be a coach or manager one day and get a call from MLB Network, and they're like, hey, we want you to come do TV. So you just never know where it's going to go, and just take it and try to make the best decision for what feels right for you at the time.
Do you ever picture yourself as a future manager?
Oh, I don't know. If someone calls me and says they want me to manage, how can you say no? You know, like, you're sitting at home like Robin Ventura was, and the team calls and says, hey, we want you to be our big league manager. You're like, why would you say no? Give it a shot. So you never say no to anything like that. Obviously, it'd have to be the right situation and the right place. But, yeah, I mean, why not? I'll give anything a shot.
What are you proudest of?
Just playing as long as I have, and being reliable, being able to go out there every day, and knowing that when I come to the park, I'm ready to play, and just laying everything out there. That's kind of all you can do.
You're the more mellow AJ Brzezinski.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
That'll do it for us on MLB.com. If you were listening on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.